Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 7th of September. Joining us this morning, somebody who just kind of wandered into the building.
Well, yeah.
He claims to be Billy Hansel, but
It is me.
It
Brian.
Is you?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Good morning.
Nice that you showed up.
Yeah, I showed up for your talk show. Highlight of my month.
The new.
What do you got?
It's a new book.
Really?
The Little Book of Answers.
Oh, dang. I'm really curious. What's in the Book of Answers?
Good. Well, so far we've had four.
Four answers?
Yeah, four answers.
Are these answers to life's
and
big questions?
They're all small little answers too, so that's even better. How did an English police force become known as Scotland Yard? This is just sequential. I did not set this
really
one up.
Well, because it started out in Scotland.
So,
and, yes,
you really ought to nail this one.
I should, but yeah. I didn't pay attention to law enforcement history in the police academy. So,
how'd you graduate?
Well,
you didn't have to bribe, did you?
I didn't bribe anyone. Just hey, C's make
stunning
the grade.
Good looks.
C's make the grade. So,
C for calculating, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. In the 10th century. In an effort to stop hostilities between their two countries, the English gave a Scottish king land in London with the provision that he build a castle on it and live there for a few months every year. Seven centuries later, with the two nations united under one king, the land returned to English ownership. In 1829, the London police took up residence on the land, which by then was known as
Scotland Yard.
Bingo!
Wow.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, a little middle
I'm
history.
Educated now. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, the Scotland Yard.
Yeah, that might get you a couple of drinks at your next convention.
Oh, well, maybe.
If
it's in England. I don't think anyone cares.
No, I'm singing at the bar.
Oh,
not
okay.
In England.
Yes.
Unless you go to those fancy ones.
Definitely
where
not.
Nobody pays other than the sponsoring entity.
No. So.
No.
We wouldn't
go
there.
You'd never do that, would you?
No.
No.
I'm not going to bring that up at an Irish pub either, I don't think. So.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of detainees there.
Yeah.
So, you've been busy, huh?
Yes, it doesn't slow down. You know, we've had a pretty good run over the last several years. And
define good.
A good run?
Yeah.
Meaning that there's plenty of activity for law enforcement, corrections, coroner's office.
Of us would see that as a disturbing run.
Yes.
Rather than as a good run.
Right. Yes. So the jail's becoming full, animal shelter's full, and our morgue is full. I mean, how about that? So trifecta.
And Sempervirens.
And Sempervirens.
They'll shoot all four corners, right?
Man. So we're busy. Government is active and busy in our community dealing with all these issues.
Are the courts keeping pace?
I don't think so. I think we should have more courts than we do. We have 8 courts or so, and I think there's been a study over the last several years that they said that they should expand 2 more courts, but they would have to expand the courthouse. And currently there's no plan to expand the courthouse or to create more courtrooms.
Kick some people out.
Well, I mean,
keep hearing rumors that the Supes are going to be relocating somewhere, a consolidation into the building of public service.
Yeah, they talk about that. They talk about, basically creating a public safety center at the courthouse. That's what they would want to do, which means
that would include jails,
some of the
right?
Yeah, well, yes, and probation and that kind of thing.
Just making sure you're paying attention here, bud.
Yes, but all public safety, probation, law enforcement, and courts would all be in the courthouse. I think that's what they really would like to see. And so all the assessor's office, tax collector, the
kind of makes sense, unless there's a huge remodel bill associated with it.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's ridiculous how much things cost anymore to remodel, but it's better than building new. Right now, we can't seem to do that. So this is like the only thing that we, I guess, can do.
Still kind of a sore point, huh?
It is. Well, I mean, give you an example. Okay, we've had plans at the sheriff's office to remodel our facility that hasn't been
remodel plans?
Yes. Well, this is, we haven't really remodeled our facility in 30 years, and the needs of the department has expanded, and there's room to modify and to remodel and to make sure that we're utilizing the space. And so we've had plans for the last 4 years, and we have not been able to actually follow through with those plans.
Can you do
because
it in phases?
Well, we can. There's actually 3 phases. We already got it planned out. But the fact is that our Public Works Department, is prioritizing other their jobs right now. And it's no fault of their own. They basically have two people that are in charge of, you know, architectural design, planning, and building all these things in the county. And that's everything. That's failing roofs. That's, new construction. Everything has to do with building within the county has to go through these two people. And so they're overwhelmed and they can't keep up. And they tend to just go with the building that has the emergency situation at this point in time. So if the roof is collapsing, it's like, hey, we're going to focus on the collapsed roof this week because, you know, that's more important than.
So you showing up with a gun on your hip, it doesn't influence them at all.
That does, no.
Kind of like me.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead. I know how good you can aim. Fire away.
Right. Doesn't help. But it's just. But this is how we have to deal with it here in the county.
So there's a choke point in the county, as well as some of the challenges that we've heard with some of the state architectural, either for educational facilities, or for the jail expansion.
A jail expansion is a whole different ballgame. But yes, absolutely. There's just a lot of.
Is there just not enough money to contract out, or to try to deflect some of these items? Because if you're going from leaky roof to blown up plumbing to parking lot fails, I mean, there's not a lot of time to poke your head up.
Right. There's just a lot of bureaucracy that we have to go through in the county and cutting that red tape. And I know people have talked about this as well. It happens in the county and out of the county. You know, when people want to do private projects as well, we do hear about the red tape and how government slows things down. And we experience the same thing. The fact is that we don't have enough people dedicated to these positions to efficiently process all of the paperwork and necessary guidance to run these projects.
So for your remodels, you already have the architectural renditions and the plans and everything ready. They just have to go thumbs up?
Yes, and we have the money set aside. And so we've had this money set aside for the last 5 years. The fact is that they just can't have this project going at the same time as others, and so it just keeps getting pushed back.
They have to monitor it and track it. That's kind of how the system is designed.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
So you just can't do it on your own.
No, we can't.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So you guys are busy. Is it new stuff? Is it same stuff? Is it weird stuff? What?
It's the same stuff. We still have violent crime that's up.
More of the same.
Well, there's more deaths this year. The last couple of years, we've just seen this steady incline in our death investigations. We actually have to expand our coroner's office. We're getting a new deputy coroner up there because we can't keep up with all the death investigations.
Now, isn't it intriguing, outside looking in,
yeah,
that with legalization, well, that's going to take care of all those problems. And some of the other measures that have been taken, that crime hasn't gone down, that it's actually spinning up.
Right.
Is this a regional phenomenon? Is this a statewide thing? How do we fit into this puzzle?
What we're seeing here is failed policy in Sacramento is what this is all about. We're seeing the decriminalization of a lot of different crimes. We're seeing the fact that there's zero accountability for the minor crimes. And it just perpetuates this system in place that there's no check. When someone commits minor crimes, when they are starting to use drugs, alcohol, whatnot, and they intersect the criminal justice system, there's very little accountability that happens to these individuals to set them on the right path.
Does that translate into more serious
I believe it
builds up the ladder.
I believe it does. Whether it's they're stealing, whether robbing, whether committing violent crime, I think you're going to see a pattern of behavior if they don't get off of their addiction, if they don't get treatment, if they don't get help, then what we're going to see is them steadily, you know, committing more and more crime. And, you know, again, it'd be violence against them, or they're going to perpetrate violence against someone else.
I know you were going to say if they got off their high horse thinking about Sacramento instead of.
Yes.
That's why I had that smile.
They're disillusioned, you know, and they believe that.
Well, are they insulated, though?
You
look around, and even Portland and Chicago and Oakland are wanting to fund more in their police departments or their law enforcement agencies. Well, you know, how many messages does it take before it finally resonates statewide?
I don't know. I think there has to be a swing one way or another. They see that these failed policies are not working. And then one of the things, too, that we're seeing is, are we seeing less homelessness now? You know, that we've got all these different programs in place. And you know, maybe we have people that are in some kind of housing now. And they've built a lot of, like, these halfway houses or these
transitional
housing. They have a lot of hotels that they transition where people are staying. We have veteran support. We have all these. And yet we still see our homeless numbers around 1,000. And, you know, so we have all these other people, thousands of people, you know, living in some of these assisted living or, you know, hotel type situations that the state is paying for.
Assisted living.
Well, yes.
Particularly considering the age of some folks that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
You're going to get popped on that one.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, we have a lot of support for people, you know, when it comes to
governmental housing.
Governmental housing. And yet, you know, here we are in Humboldt County on an interesting incline in prosperity on the horizon. We have all these great things coming in play. We have the fish farm. We have offshore wind. We have Cal Poly. We have the fiber line coming in. We have all this potential now of growing.
Reality.
But the anchor of reality is our housing situation and the situation here with crime and the depressed economy.
I'm just thinking here for a moment.
Yeah.
So housing is driven by demand.
Yes.
We have a depressant on demand with the amount of homeless and criminal activity we have here. If that was addressed more efficiently and effectively, we would probably have more demand, more people wanting to come here, rather than those driving through looking, you know, we're not even going to stop for gas.
Right.
And continue. Obviously, the two are interlinked, but I mean, they're linked differently than what most people are trying to associate. It's not housing the current, it's building housing for the future as well as the current.
Right.
Huh. Now, I have heard and seen that Humboldt's enrollment this year, and Jen will be on in a couple weeks, is only up 98 kids.
Uh-huh.
They were anticipating 2,000.
Right.
So that also brings into question when we hear about housing and the numbers, how accurate are these numbers?
Right.
Are they projections or are they today?
Right.
And I think a lot of it might be projections.
Hmm.
Not that that solves anything, but you know, I think that a lot of us are still kind of skeptical about numbers.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if they're round numbers.
Well, I think you look at Arcata right now and you see how many apartments that Arcata does have, and I think most of them are full.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago, you'd have seen that most of these apartments were full with students, with Humboldt students. And I don't think we see that anymore. I think we see that there's a lot of people that have migrated to Arcata that are just looking for a house, looking for an apartment. And so they're taking up student housing right now because it was a place where people could get an apartment for, you know, and for a reasonable price and, you know, a studio apartment or whatnot. And so now they're having to build more. And Cal Poly's building more housing, student housing. But I feel like as well as we have to, we've talked about this before, we have to focus on housing for our working class. We have to focus on housing for our executive professional class. We got to get that. We have to straighten this out because we're going to have all these people come in and we're not going to have any support or any housing for them.
Sounds like we're right back in the same spot we were before. about choke points in the county.
Is. Yep, for sure.
Oh, KINS. I know I'm going to get feedback on this one. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So if you're staying busy, and the trends are just more of, not different.
Yeah.
Is the execution of these activities proving anything at all? I mean, you mentioned that the misdemeanors, and nobody's paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there was a push at one point to at least have the misdemeanors in court with a record so that then you could cumulatively reference.
Right.
It is the 15th time this clown's been in here for the same thing.
Right.
Where's the tipping point?
Right.
And kind of, I know you don't advocate in the courtroom for that kind of stuff. There are others that have that responsibility, but can you do something like that, or is that considered going outside the lines and being a maverick, and then you kind of get smacked down either at the state level or by county council?
You know, what we're doing is we are trying to bundle these cases together. We're trying to encourage our deputy sheriffs to take these investigations, to arrest these people. And if they are one of these guys that are consistently reoffending, we are holding them. Instead of even
them, you can detain.
Absolutely. So we can, if their likelihood of reoccurrence is high, then what we're going to do is we're going to put a hold on them, and we're not going to cite and release them from jail. We
How
are going
long can to you hang on to them?
72 hours until they go to court. And at that point in time, then it's up to a judge. We're gonna work with the DA. The DA will plead our case about keeping these people in custody because of their likelihood of reoffending. Chronic thieves, trespassers. Also, felons in possession of firearms, all these things.
50 people, 25 people, 10 people?
In a month?
If you could
yes.
Round them all up,
these folks would
qualify.
There's probably around 40 to 50 people, individuals, that are consistent reoffenders. And we've dealt with these people in the past. Over 15 years ago, we used to be able to hold these people, and they were getting 6 months to a year in county jail because they've had 12, let's say, drunken publics or whatever case may be. They've stolen all these things in the last 30 days. We're gonna hold them in custody, or we're gonna sentence them, to a time where they can actually go to jail and hopefully get sober, get counseling, get whatever they need in jail to be supportive when they get out.
Off the street.
That's
so
it.
You don't have the capacity for that, or there's not a willingness in the courts to allow this to occur?
It needs to be a realignment going on. If you want to talk
Wait
about
a minute.
Philosophy.
Isn't that a four-letter word?
A realignment the other way. So
oh,
the state,
an unrealignment.
The state, it's completely crazy because 10 years ago, the state was underwater in their state prison population. They were ordered to reduce their state prison population. And then their solution to that was, let's just have county jails take all the violent offenders that don't have less than a 3-year sentence. So you have assault with deadly weapons, you have domestic violence, you have drug offenders, you have all these people that used to go to state prison.
All the nasties.
Yeah. And now we get to house them in county jail. That's what realignment does. And since then, we had the pandemic, which Newsom and California Department of Corrections, they just released people. They released people. They used the pandemic as a reason. They released people on the street. And now the prison population is well under the max, where they have now closed state prisons.
Are they taking back some of these?
They have taken no, they haven't taken back what they, as far as realignment goes, they're taking what they should, what is mandated by the law to be taken. But you see, every year they're looking at reducing sentence for people that that have committed crime. The state is passing laws.
Well, now is that us as the citizenry passing laws?
No, these are our legislatures. This is Senator McGuire and Assemblymember Wood. You know, these offices that are looking at continuously trying to reduce prison sentences for people.
Accountability. When you hold them accountable and say, look, this is what's going on in my little burg.
Right.
What's the response?
We do. We tend to, you know.
What do they say?
They listen. They listen, and some listen better than others.
Pat you on the head, give you
and
a,
they go, you know,
parting
but,
gift and say goodbye.
But oftentimes they say, you know, they point, just like all of us realize, that L.A. has all the state legislation down there. They have all the votes. The consensus of the L.A. caucus, the Democratic caucus, really gets what they want.
Doesn't mean you can't rail against it.
I agree with you. And with Senator McGuire and his current position and his leadership role, he should be advocating for us in rural Northern California. And he has influence that
he
can actually do it.
Well, this sounds like the whole state.
Yes.
This is not just us.
No. But you're talking about it really affects rural counties like this, where we have small jails, where we have, you know, the capacity issues, where we want the state to take their responsibility.
Well, doesn't Sacramento, even though they have a bigger jail, I mean, that means they have more bad guys.
They do. But places like Alameda County, they're not as full as we are. They have room in their jails. So,
because of the lack of sentencing? I mean, they got to have misdemeanor offenses down there, too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure why. But, yeah, they didn't have as much. But I'm advocating for the entire 58 counties. I think the state should be taking back the felons. The felons should, again, go to state prison. We should worry about our misdemeanor crimes, our public nuisance crimes, so they can be held accountable in our county jail, and we can provide them the rehabilitation to get back out in the street. But we don't have that anymore. That's why we have this revolving door. That's why probation is consistently getting bigger. They're trying to monitor all these people, and the people are failing. People are not getting better.
How many numbers in your hotel would be in state prison prior to this realignment?
We've had probably 70 or 80, you know.
So it's a big enough chunk that would give us all some space to be able to handle your 40 magic reoffenders.
And then if there was room in the jail, then there's more likely that the judges would sentence low-lying misdemeanors to jail. I mean, right now they understand the jail is getting full, and
why aren't they taking the opinion of let's make it full? And then if we have to kick somebody out a couple days early to make room for another bad guy, that's your responsibility.
Right, that's our responsibility.
Am I missing something here?
Nope, you're not. So we want to definitely focus on those. We want to encourage our judges to sentence those people. Once they're in jail, we do have options. We can work with probation. We can, for people that are in programs or can go to a some kind of assisted living program. Sorry. Whatever it may be, a drug treatment program.
I'm not going to your folks' place for Thanksgiving, and maybe you aren't either.
Sorry. Some drug treatment program, live-in drug treatment program like Teen Challenge, Waterfront Recovery, one of those ones that they can get some intensive care. You know, we can work with those kind of people. But it's the people like the felon in possession of a firearm. That is someone that, you know, really gets a pass. They don't go back to state prison. They are treated like a, you know, it's a misdemeanor offense, and they don't actually get a lot of sentence. So we're taking that back.
Do you have degrees of, I'm trying to think of a parallel to the levels of Dante's Inferno.
Right.
Do you have a section for the really bad guys? And then area for the not quite so bad guys. And
that's what makes the jail unique is that we do have secure detention facilities. We have a jail cell for the bad people that they are behind a lock and key. They get out of the jail cell an hour a day to get exercise, shower, phone call, whatever they need. They have an hour. That's it, because of their security risk that they propose to, or they, are on our staff, demonstrated to our staff or other inmates. They can't get along well with others. So we put them in a cell. We put them in timeout. Hopefully that they, will one day learn to take care of themselves. Also, we have the mentally ill who can't be around others. They may be taken advantage of, or they just are so, in a place of their mental illness that they can't thrive around others. So we have treatment programs. We have our therapeutic facility inside the jail. And then we have general population. We have people in dorms that are able to walk around freely. And sometimes we have homicide suspects. Sometimes we have rapists in there. It's all dependent on their ability to get along with others. And so they're mixing with everyone else.
So the nice guy that's a rapist is in the middle of that population?
Could be. Yep. All depends on their ability to get along with others.
Not like these guys know how to play the game.
Sometimes they do, but as long as they play the game, they're treating others well, then they get to be there. So, yep.
Man, that's got to be so weird.
It is what it is.
Your reality, but it's right. Weird.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Interesting trends that are going on. Do you see anything in the ballot in March that is either going to maybe change the trend or accelerate this trend that's going to cause complications at this point?
Everyone always has a choice at the ballot box to choose the right politicians to put in place that are
okay. You
right.
have the individual choices.
Yes. Yeah. But as far as new legislation, I think you're going to see more taxes on there, and they're always going to dangle public safety as a reason to raise taxes. We see that every single time. They're going to say, hey, if you want to.
Does the State Sheriff's Association ever stand out and say no?
Yes, we have. Okay. Absolutely. We've tried to advocate. I encourage people to log on to the State Sheriff's Association website, because we have also social
media.
That's
high on the old pecking order for a lot of us.
Well, I know.
State Sheriff's.
Yeah, CSSA. But we have a lot of information that we want to share with local residents and people of the state, so they're aware of what's happening with the legislature, what's happening with the governor's office. And so they're completely aware of all the changes that are being proposed on the state level. None of the changes that are coming ever help law enforcement. It doesn't make our job easier. It only makes our job more difficult. And when we see growing crime trends, when we see public safety issues around the state, and we see really no support from the state to do our job, it makes our job harder. It's very frustrating, very frustrating. And I know that the residents are frustrated. Law enforcement's frustrated. I'm just happy that we have dedicated individuals that are here doing the job in our county. We have some fantastic deputies, both working in corrections and operations, that are out there doing God's work every day, and I'm very, very happy about that.
But this trend is not a positive one that you're anticipating.
It's not, and it just seems every year there's some, it's mostly Democrats that are trying to propose more lenient sentences, or trying to put more curbs on law enforcement's function.
Well, they've got the majority in the assembly.
They got a supermajority.
So,
and it's like it just can't. They're just creating more and more laws that the state sheriffs have to go, we object to this. You guys have got to do something different.
Is there anybody in law enforcement who's unelected at the state level? Not independent offices, but at the assembly in the Senate.
There have been, yes. Jim Cooper was one of them. He was working for Sacramento County Sheriff's Office, and he just was recently elected to become the sheriff of Sacramento County. So he's a great influence that we have in the state sheriffs.
Yeah, but now he's not in the
assembly. No, but he has the
assembly.
But he has, he's got those connections, those inroads in Sacramento. And so he's a great asset to have there. Very reasonable person that balances, you know, the needs of the state and needs of this in the system. I mean, there's always room to reform, you know, criminal justice system,
oh, sure.
Right? There's always room to improve. Absolutely. I'm not saying there doesn't need to be improvement, but it just seems over and over again they're going in the wrong direction.
So at what point did we hit where's the tipping point?
When people get so frustrated that they can't go out and do what they need to do to make money, to enjoy our state, and there's this constant interference by people. And also, when you're victimized by crime and you finally realize that you have no rights, that really the state doesn't advocate for you, and the state advocates for the person that committed the crime against you, that's when people get frustrated. That's when people want to see something different.
But either that results in an emotional lashing out, which is not healthy or productive, or you feel like you're on your own because nobody else is doing.
Right. But it's those emotional stories that tend to cause some movement on the state level. So we need our state senator, Mike McGuire, and Jim Wood, our assemblyman, need to hear, you know, some of those frustrations and be honest with them. They both will listen to people.
Direct contact to their local office? Or
yeah,
through your...
I would email them, call them, direct, you know,
I know
local office.
Beat them up,
public,
hassle them.
No,
yeah.
Just talk to them at public meetings about it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
I know you're feeling so much better now.
Therapy. Thank you. Therapy.
See everybody tomorrow.